On today's episode of The Naturopath, we're going to be talking about diabetes, both juvenile and adult onset diabetes, and how we can take care of it from a natural perspective.
If you're trying to attain better health, a new set of directions may be the key. Welcome to The Natural Path, featuring Dr. Michelle Brannick, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. And now, from the Brannick Clinic in Riverside, Illinois, here are your hosts, Lynn Webb and Dr. Michelle Brannick.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Natural Path. I'm Lynn Webb, and I'm here with Dr. Michelle Brannick. And we're at the Brannick Clinic in Riverside, Illinois. And we're here today to talk to you about a very important topic, a very serious topic in this country today, and that is diabetes. I have some numbers here about diabetes that I think you're going to find a little bit staggering. In the last decade, diabetes has grown by about 50% in this country. And in 2005, we had an incident of 20.8 million people having diabetes in this country. It's a huge number, and obviously up from about 10 in 1994. So as you can see, that's an enormous increase. And I guess if we had an increase like that in cancer, people would really be paying attention. But thankfully, we're paying attention here at the Brannick Clinic. Dr. Brannick, tell us a little bit about why diabetes is such an incredible threat today.
Because we're seeing diabetes in younger and younger people today, especially in children. It's growing at an alarming rate. And children with diabetes will definitely have a shorter lifespan, and they definitely will have a decreased quality of life.
Well, let's backtrack a minute. Let's establish very clearly and very simply for people, what exactly is diabetes?
Diabetes is a group of diseases that is characterized by high levels of blood sugar that the body can no longer keep up with. Insulin that is produced in the pancreas is supposed to take sugar out of the bloodstream and pull it into the cells to make energy. But what happens is the high demand from our extremely high sugary diets put an extremely large load on the pancreas to produce insulin, and it can no longer keep up with the production. So what happens is you end up with high blood sugar levels constantly.
So even if you're sort of born into this world with a healthy average pancreas, taxing it by way of having this overload of sugar in the diet can even take it out of the healthiest of pancreases.
It sure can.
So explain a little bit about the difference between, or if there is a difference between, type 1, which is juvenile diabetes, correct?
Correct.
And adult onset diabetes. Are they sort of same in the physiology, or is
no,
there a difference?
No, they really are two different etiologies. Type 1, which is only 5 to 10% of all the diagnosis of diabetes, usually starts, like you said, in juvenile in the younger years. It's insulin dependent, where people definitely need insulin to live, and usually that's in the form of an injection. However, the cause is usually autoimmune, where the body attacks the beta cells in the pancreas, so the beta cells can no longer produce insulin. The cause may also be genetic, and it could be environmental. And there are some links to diet for this also.
So then, in the juvenile onset diabetes, what's a typical age that that might appear?
It's usually under 10.
Under 10. Mm-hmm. And that's, in most cases, due to some sort of issue within the pancreas, something's genetically not up to par.
Yes, but I really think it's probably more of an autoimmune process that's attacking the beta cells not to produce insulin.
So in other words, your body is sort of attacking itself.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
That's an autoimmune.
And there's some link to dairy products, that the body is exposed to the casein in dairy, and these cells may be involved in pancreatic dysfunction.
Okay, so we understand what juvenile diabetes is. Talk a little bit about adult onset. What happens there? Why does this occur?
Type 2 is what is, when you quoted the statistics in the enormous amount of increase in diabetes, it is the type that is expanding so rapidly. And it is our lifestyle that's causing diabetes type 2. It is the exposure to high refined carbohydrate diets. It's the trans fatty acids, the partially hydrogenated oils in our diets. It's the high sugar consumption in sodas. It's a lifestyle
and lack
disease.
Of exercise too.
And lack of exercise is huge.
Because exercise is very key in helping control diabetes, correct?
Absolutely.
It's needed. It's a tandem of diet and exercise.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And but what happens is it starts usually with a gradual onset of you see the blood sugar rising and the body just it's not keeping up with the insulin production because it can't. And so what happens is you start getting oxidation to the vessels and you start getting damage to the organs. So it's a gradual onset and it leads to serious complications and premature death.
And what are some of those complications?
The number one complication, I think, is diabetic retinopathy, and that's where people gradually lose their eyesight. And in this country, the loss of eyesight, the number one cause, is from diabetes.
And there's also a huge impact on kidneys, correct?
Yes.
Kidney function?
Kidney failure, and this leads to people being on dialysis, which, as you know, is not a fun life. You're hooked up to a machine several hours a week to do the function of the kidneys, which is to filter toxins out of our blood, and it's a hard life.
And, of course, when kidneys are damaged, that often also leads to high blood pressure. They
yes.
often go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
So there's this whole sort of interrelated, interwoven domino effect that happens mm-hmm. with diabetes.
Well, there's also another serious complication of, it's called diabetic neuropathy, where people lose their feeling in their toes, their fingers, their hands, their feet. And what happens is the circulation decreases to the extremities. And sometimes these people get sores in the extremities that cannot heal. And eventually that leads to amputation.
So, yes, when we see people, you know, diabetics who've lost their feet, it's due to the fact that gangrene has set in due to the lack of circulation in that area, in that extremity.
Yes.
What kind of symptoms should people be on the lookout for? I think there's a lot of general knowledge. People have sort of a vague notion, you know, if I'm thirsty or whatever. Tell me some of the very common symptoms you see with adult onset diabetes.
Okay, probably the most common symptoms are fatigue. They will report eating and then feeling extremely tired. They will have sugar cravings, feel numbness in their fingers and toes.
Thirst. Excessive urination. Are there sleep disturbances?
There can be some insomnia because their blood sugar, again, is not stable, so it's bouncing all over the place, and it does affect sleep.
And so worst case scenario, people are, they're very weak, they're very tired all the time. This is probably before they've actually, you know, had a full crash, but they're sort of headed in that direction. So those are the kinds of things to be on the lookout for. And obviously, the more you can do to keep your weight under control, correct?
Absolutely. And exercise.
Exercise and weight control can be just essential in preventing adult onset diabetes.
Yes.
So I think we can see that it's not just a case of, you know, taking a little shot and you're okay. It can lead to a whole string of occurrences. Explain how that works.
Sure. I feel that if you have advanced stages of diabetes, that if you are willing to work on your diet and change your lifestyle habits, that you can at least control the diabetes and decrease your risk of complications and live a decent quality of life. I also think if you have newly onset or it's only been, you've had it for 5 years and it's relatively controlled, I think that you can reverse the disease and, you know, get rid of the disease. I think you can completely reverse it if you're willing to work on your lifestyle.
Well, that's very interesting. So have you had some success in this arena in your clinic?
I have.
Let's say someone comes to you and they've been suffering from diabetes 2 or 3 years. What would a typical approach be? And I know there are no mm-hmm. typical approaches, but what might you do?
I see a lot of uncontrolled diabetes, and people are on like 2 or 3 or 4 medications, and they're still, their diabetes is not controlled. And what I mean uncontrolled is their blood sugar is all over the place. It can drop to low numbers and then increase to 400 level, which is very high. So the first thing I do is try to stabilize their blood sugar, and that's my approach initially. And that's definitely with diet. We go down that route. I give them some supplements, maybe some herbs, depending on what is going on. I treat all the other things that they have. If they have high blood pressure, if they have some autoimmune disease going on, I'm treating the whole person. Once the blood sugar is stable, then I go to working with them to decrease their blood sugar levels. And that, again, is supplements and diet, and it's
well, Dr. Brannick, you've indicated that every patient that you see has a customized treatment plan, so no one should be out there treating themselves with supplements, because suddenly, you know, it's become very acceptable to self-regulate and self-dose, and that is not what Dr. Brannick does here at the clinic. She looks at it very personally and does a very in-depth profile of what kind of supplements you should be on in particular. But all that said, what are some of the more prevalent supplements that you might use in a diabetic situation?
Okay, I use antioxidants, I use chromium picolinate and some other minerals, especially if they have high blood pressure, magnesium, calcium. I use some herbs. You know, again, I'm treating the whole person, so it is individual.
And this is almost always in tandem with probably a pretty drastic diet alteration.
Exactly, yes. I take it off their blood work. I really look in detail at their blood work to determine what they should be on and what they shouldn't be on. I definitely don't think that you should be on supplements that you don't need. I believe you should only be taking things that you need.
You were talking about stabilizing the blood sugar levels. Talk a little bit about how standards have changed as far as blood sugar ratings, and also what is considered normal, what should you look at as maybe it's a little bit of a problem. Tell us about the range.
Okay. Acceptable range for me is their blood sugar needs to be between 80 and 100. When it starts creeping over 100, I kind of keep an eye on it and just try to get it under 100. But if it's over 110, 120, then I'm thinking they're leaning more towards like Syndromax, which is pre-diabetes. If it's uncontrolled and it's all over the place, it's full-blown diabetes.
Talk a little bit about Syndromax, just in a nutshell, so that we can sort of have an overview of the types of things maybe to be on the lookout for. What is Syndromax?
Okay, Syndromax is what I kind of talked about earlier. It's a gradual onset of diabetes, but you have things like high triglycerides and low good cholesterol, which is the HDLs, and gradually an increase in the bad cholesterol, which is the LDLs. Your blood pressure starts to increase. You see the blood sugar levels start to gradually increase and not be stable again. The person can feel a lot of fatigue. They feel that after they eat, they may feel fatigued. They may have signs of hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar because, again, it's uncontrolled. They may have lightheadedness, dizziness.
Okay, Dr. Brannick, you've indicated that your first course of treatment for a patient who is exhibiting diabetes symptoms is to, A, do blood work and obviously monitor where the blood sugar levels are over probably a course of time. Then you would draw up a plan that included a reduction of carbohydrates in the diet. Would that be correct?
Of the simple carbohydrates, not the complex carbohydrates.
Right.
Which people think these low-carb diets are good for you. However, carbohydrates are good for you if you have the complex carbohydrates. It's the simple sugars that are hurting us. And these are found in like box foods, you know, anything that has sugar in it.
And just about everything does. If you've ever taken a stroll down the grocery aisle and looked at any packaged food or processed food, even salad dressing, you think, oh, I'm going to have a nice healthy salad. And then you throw the bottled dressing on it, which is loaded with high fructose syrup.
Yes.
So that's bad stuff. We don't want any of that stuff.
You know, diet changes are really hard because you have to start reading every single label, because sugar and bad foods and trans fatty acids and partially hydrogenated oils are in everything today.
They're lurking everywhere behind every label.
So what I really encourage people to do is start to cook at home more. They really need to spend more time planning their meals initially and cooking, spending time in the kitchen, because restaurants only care about taste. They don't care about quality of food, and they don't care about your diabetes or your high blood pressure. They only care about taste. So you need to go back to the kitchen and start to cook.
Because that's the only way you can be 100% sure of what's in your meal.
Exactly. And, you know, people who eat at fast food restaurants, you'll see obesity is huge in our country. We are seeing obesity in 1 in 3 people in adults and 1 in 4 in children. And then we have over people who are overweight. It's like 50% of our population is overweight. So these fast food restaurants and these poor diets are contributing to diabetes and obesity.
And anyone who saw the movie Super Size Me will attest to the detrimental effects in the movie after just 30 days of a fast food diet were colossal. Liver damage, high blood pressure, clogging of the arteries in just 30 days. And here, many people are on fast food diets, you know, for 50 years. So you can imagine the cumulative effect of a fast food diet.
That movie was truly amazing and an eye-opener for me.
Definitely. Yeah. It's staggering and scary, and it will keep you out of the drive-thru, hopefully.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, Lynn, but we get 28% of our sugar through soft drinks. So if people would just eliminate all their beverages alone, they would decrease their chances of diabetes.
And it's interesting that you should touch on that, because that's one of the few vices I don't have. I'm not a big soda drinker. I once encountered recently a guy who drank 14 Diet Pepsis a day.
Wow.
And he had myriad health issues. And I turned to him and I said, you know, you're substituting one poison for another, truthfully. So, hey, let's do some water, okay?
Exactly.
Water or fruit juice.
Well, actually, fruit juice is high sugar also. So I actually recommend getting rid of all the beverages, the coffee drinks, the fruit juices, the punches.
So water only.
The sodas, the sports drinks. You know, what's wrong with drinking water? Our bodies need enormous amount of water, and typically the average American is dehydrated.
That's
true. And all these drinks actually pull water out of you, along with nutritional things like minerals.
Now, will you touch on something really key, I think, hearkening back to what we were talking about with kids showing greater incidence of diabetes. Obviously, kids being very prone to the fast food lifestyle and also to sodas. And even in families where they say no soda, you're going to have juice, once again, you're still giving them high sugar.
You are.
So what do you advise to a parent who knows that they need to sort of totally restructure their kid's diet to eliminate some of these sugars? How do you take it away once they've had it?
I really believe the earlier you start, the better your success is. If you start in a kid who's 12 and 13, it's going to be very hard. But if you start at birth or, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old and start changing things when you have control, that's the time to change it. The first thing I would do is if you are going to do fruit juices, do it 50% juice and 50% water. At least you're decreasing the amount of sugar and you're getting some water in them. But I think it starts with not having things in the house. If you have junk food in the house, everybody in the house is going to eat it. So you make your house a sanctuary and you don't have these products in the house. For snacks, you have grapes, pears, apples, nuts. You know, my kids eat all this stuff, and they don't look for the junk food because we don't have it in our house. They have no choice.
In fact, I was just at Dr. Brannick's the other night and saw her young son grab a big bowl of beets and gobble it up, and he was all happy about it. And it was quite a revelation to see a young child do that.
Yeah.
But apparently this is normal behavior in her household, and she's here to deliver the message that we all need to start embracing this as normal behavior. And it's going to call for an adjustment in planning. We need to, you know, make this a part of our shopping experience. It does necessitate a little more time and attention, but
upfront.
But think of what you're adding onto your quality of life and your lifespan over the long term.
Not to mention that what you're giving your kids are really good dietary habits that they will hang on to. It's not impossible to do.
Exactly. It's a challenge, but when we see these numbers, these diabetes numbers, and how, you know, as I said in the early part of the show, the cases have doubled in the last 10 years. It's an epidemic without a question. And for some reason, I think people think that, oh, I can take a little shot or I can take a pill, no big deal. it is going to destroy your organs if it's not under control. And it sometimes becomes very hard to control. In fact, I had the recent bad news that my cousin's wife, who is only in her late 40s, died of a heart attack. Well, we look at that and we say, a heart attack. But we might not make the link to the fact that she was a brittle diabetic, which means uncontrolled diabetes, with sugar in the 700 range. She was obese.
Wow.
And yet, for some reason, they kind of weren't getting that under control and looking at the whole picture. Dr. Brannick can help you look at the whole picture and take care of these dietary issues, these lifestyle issues. But one more thing I want to touch upon before we end this discussion on diabetes. How would you say that your approach differs, or maybe even in what regard is it the same as traditional or allopathic medicine would approach it?
Well, I think we're all trying to decrease blood sugar. Just my approach is more going back to the cause, and the cause is lifestyle, which is poor dietary habits usually. And so I really work with people to change their lifestyle. And yeah, it takes an effort and it takes some planning before you go shopping. And it takes some thinking, like when you come home at 6 o'clock at night, you can't just all of a sudden say, oh, I have to make dinner. You need to know what you're going to make for dinner that night. Otherwise, you're going to end up eating, just grabbing chips or junk food.
Because you're starved, you're tired, and you just want to, you know, fill the beast.
Right. So my approach is more working with people to change their lifestyle. And then I do, of course, support their organs or pancreas and whatever else needs to be done. But I want them to reverse the disease, not maintain the disease. So that is probably the biggest difference, is I am working to reverse the disease.
So here at the clinic, Dr. Brannick has had great success getting people to modify their lifestyles and getting type 2, the adult onset diabetes patients, off of their meds. And anytime you can be medication free, you want to do that. That's a really good thing in life.
There's side effects to the medications too. And a lot of times these medications are hard on the liver, they're hard on the kidney, and what I see in my clinic is that they are not stabilizing the blood sugar. And maybe I get those kind of cases here because people are looking for ways to stabilize their blood. So maybe I'm seeing the worst case scenario, but I don't see the medications as being the answer for diabetes. I see actually people who are on medication progressively getting worse, not better. And through the years, if they don't change their diet, they're going to need higher and higher amounts of medications, not less. Lynn, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the cost of diabetes in the United States in 2002 was $132 billion, and that's dramatically increased already because, as you stated, the statistics are that we're growing very fast.
Well,
every
not
year
to not only that, a lot of the statistics are not even fully developed because a lot of times diabetes is likely to be unreported as a cause of death.
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily make that as the first link. You have all these other extenuating circumstances with diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, etc.
Right.
So I think it's kind of like the iceberg. There's a lot going on under the surface there that we haven't even fully wrapped our arms around.
Well, if you have diabetes, you are 2 to 3 times more likely to have complications of another disease. So people sometimes will die of a heart attack or stroke, and that's reported, but really the underlying cause is the diabetes. So you're right about it being underreported.
So we have a case of it socking it to our economy, our healthcare system, to people's quality of life. It's, you know, increased by 50% in the last decade. Okay, I think we need to look at this. We need to be a little bit more vigilant about treating this. And a good place to start is with Dr. Brannick here at the Brannick Clinic. Thank you for joining us today. If you have any question about your health or you think you might be experiencing pre-diabetic symptoms or you've been diagnosed as a diabetic, don't hesitate to talk to Dr. Michelle Brannick at the clinic. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Visit us online at www.bcnaturalmedicine.com or call us at 708-447-2468. To submit your questions and comments to Dr. Brannick for use on future episodes of The Natural Path, send us an email at questions@thenaturalpathpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.